scene.
Blog Talk Radio.
The North American Wrestling Connection. For over 50 months, the revolutionary force in talk entertainment. The North American Wrestling Connection, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
You know, there's a 90% chance tonight we're going to see a new champion. There's a 16% chance it's going to be me. We got a 50% chance of Rain. There's a 0% chance that the Rated R Superstar is technically still Rated R. TVPG guys. There's an 85% chance we'll see an RKO. There's a 99% chance we'll see the Nexus. 35% chance the crowd may be hostile. Okay, 75% chance. And there's actually a 2% chance that we find out tonight Sheamus has made a 2% milk. What does all this mean, Josh? Nothing. Bumpkin.
And I feel that I had only seen 50% of that fine event.
A shame.
To that, ladies and gentlemen, yes, to that, ladies and gentlemen, I say do not adjust your internet. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. I have recently come off the road from an attempt to walk into Night of Champions in Chicago, only to miss some of the finer points of the event.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, some of the millions who watched it at home can sit and gloat at the fact that they got to see Daniel Bryan kick Miz's fucking head in.
Yeah.
There we go.
But I digress. Let's start with the panel, just slightly north of me, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
Good evening, Vietnam. Wait.
I don't think we broadcast that far.
Or do we?
Somewhere up in the northeast in the shadow of Madison Square Garden, I have Mr. Jason Block.
Yes, where Mr. Bret Hart will be making his return tomorrow night at a SmackDown house show at Bret Hart Appreciation Night, two nights after TNA rocked Hammerstein Ballroom. Another 2,000, by the way, they showed up there, which is not bad for a TNA show.
That's true. And somewhere on the other side of the river, not too far from Jason, we have our sound man, Mr. Jim Williams.
With a bit of a riddle for you folks, if Matt Stryker really is the Jefferson Darcy of NXT, does that mean NXT has officially jumped the shark?
A long time ago.
I can picture Matt Stryker in a black leather jacket and jams. Oh, come on.
Darcy Darcy. Oh.
Jesse Hyman.
Oh, God.
At least I know Jason's old enough to get the reference.
Yeah, I'm old enough to get it. Yeah, trust me.
Hey, we're young whippersnappers here. Ah!
That's right.
Sweet.
Get your men muted, son.
Yeah, 43 in February. I'm an old fart. Let's go.
You will for privilege on the phone.
So, anyway, just to fill you guys in on what actually happened with the Chicago incident, I received a phone call at 3 p.m. Eastern Time for a 7 p.m. Central start of Night of Champions. There was a comp ticket with my name on it if I wanted it. So, darn you sense of adventure, I jump in the car. I drive to Indianapolis. I meet up with a handful of doofuses, including the man who was getting us the tickets. We piled into a certain referee's dark blue HHR with a giant footprint in the back. Thank you, Chris Madness.
Yes.
And made a beeline for Chicago, where we ran into tons and tons and tons and tons of traffic. It's a big city.
So we've heard.
No offense to New York, but that's pretty much what cost us the first hour and a half of this pay-per-view.
Ouch.
When we walked in the door, they were declaring the winner of the women's unification match.
Ew, okay.
So I had a seat just in time for the Undertaker Kane video package.
So you only got to see two matches live.
Three.
Yeah,
we saw the tag team. We saw the tag team title match as well.
Mm-hmm.
We came in for Undertaker Kane. We saw the tag team title scramble match, and then the six-pack challenge. Now, mind you, at the end of the night, this cost me $40 to put some gas in the man's tank, $40 to put myself up in a hotel room, $20 to put gas in my car, and the travel gods always demanding a sacrifice as they have taken my 32 gig jump drive.
Ooh. Yikes. Hopefully there was not much stuff on it.
Hopefully there's not much stuff that I already had copies elsewhere on it.
Oh, good.
Including all those pictures you have of certain wrestlers' abs or whatever. You know.
Yeah, damn it, Jomo.
Oh. Jomo Breaker aside, the other benefit was the fact that I did get to shake hands with perennial onstage manager Mark Eaton, who now knows me by face at least. And a relaxing night at Indianapolis, which led to some amazing sushi at Mikado's restaurant in downtown Indy. You must find this place if you are ever there. And the double taping on Monday. But I digress. What I saw of the pay-per-view was quite good. Did any of you guys see the whole thing?
Yes, I was actually with DJ down in Bowling Green watching it.
Injure me slowly and tell me a story about a man.
Yeah.
A man who earned this music.
The Flight of the Bumblebee? No. Oh, the Ride of the Valkyrie. Excuse me.
The Out of the Valkyrie.
In a hope to see if it attests to you might be the next United States champion. Echo, 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 like Ben Stein.
All I have seen is a pair of GIFs of Mr. Daniel Bryan kicking Miz's fucking head in, followed by him tapping relentlessly to the lapel lock.
Indeed.
Josh, tell me about this match, please.
Oh, my God. Daniel Bryan turned on the Jets, and The Miz played Nigel to Daniel Bryan. Well, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. And I'll have to wait for the DVD.
Yeah, a shame, but... Or you can find it elsewhere, but...
I will find it eventually. I will find it somehow. I'll probably end up buying the DVD anyway, sitting through it in its entirety.
It was probably the match of the night, quite frankly, if you look at the whole card. It was a very entertaining match, with both sides having... They're fair play, and it was the show stealer pretty much as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, also, this both makes both Miz and Bryan stars. You know, I mean, we were a few months ago saying, excuse my language, but what the fuck is going on with Daniel Bryan? WWE sucks. There are a bunch of pussies for, you know, taking out Daniel Bryan because he choked Justin Roberts with a tie. Will we all remember this?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, WWE looks like stinking geniuses for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
They look like stinking geniuses because they take Daniel Bryan out, make them look like the saps because Daniel Bryan becomes a victim of political circumstance. By the way, McMahon is closing in on Blumenthal. Don't knock yourselves out yet. And now, when Daniel Bryan comes back, because you had the fans chanting for him, because it was probably in the plan all along, we got duped. And now, both The Miz is now in the A card, and Daniel Bryan has his belt. Are you happy, guys? I know I am.
I am happy that they've, well,
Sorry, just, it just hit me now. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Please step down from your soapbox.
I will. Just let me get my second cup of caffeine.
Oh, boy. After the first one, I thought he was off to the races. After the second, look out. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Caffeine at 3 p.m. But what I thought the pay-per-view was quite good. I was very satisfied with the Undertaker Kane first round, even though Kane was permitted to break the momentum rule, and I think he got all of us.
Yeah.
I really think he got all of us with that. He actually broke the momentum rule, put Undertaker down.
Mm-hmm. I believe I said Kane, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, unfortunately, all I have are the final numbers. And even with you calling Kane, Jason, you were at the bottom of the barrel.
Ouch.
Aye.
Oh, well.
However, don't feel bad. I am only slightly ahead of you with Jim and with Forrest.
Welcome to the boat.
So, yeah, and the boat's sinking slowly. Carl and DJ
sorry.
No, you're fine. So we ended up with 4 points, Carl and DJ with 5, meaning that we now have a singular NAWC Fizzleweight champion. So let's go take a peek into the chat room and say congratulations, Mr. Typho.
Yes,
KU Texas Toast.
So, Typho, where the bell with pride, we might have to put you on the show next week.
You know what? That should be a reward for the belt.
Yeah.
To be on the show?
Yeah, why not?
All right. That's one of the, that makes my booking easier.
But I also...
Considering he also may lose the belt in a week or so, but yes.
There were also a couple of things that came out of the main event match. The six-pack challenge that were very interesting. Number one, we have a new champion in Randall Keith Orton.
Yeah.
And of course...
Wow.
Those are the Cena fangirls over with their reaction.
No, that's Nikki.
I'm not a Cena fangirl.
No.
I don't want to hear you talk at all.
I did.
Oh.
Never mind.
But I will say this though, the more we forgot the shirt rule of the show.
No, Jason's got a point. If a wrestler arrives at the arena with a new shirt or is sent out with new music, that's win.
And Randall Orton's full Back to School collection is, it's a pretty cool shirt, by the way. Not for nothing. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, but, and the second one, and I think the more interesting one, and you could play up on this, is, tell us what happened to Chris Jericho, Nikki.
Ah, yes. Chris Jericho was the first man eliminated. And as we all recall his prideful boast from a few weeks ago that he was going to win or he was going to leave. This prompted the in-house crowd with cross chants of na na na, hey hey, goodbye, and Y2J. Mm. And he kind of took his time going back up the ramp, looking back over his shoulder like a wounded lion. Heart.
Oh, wow. Dang
it,
okay.
Nikki.
That's good.
I'm reading from ear to ear. That was nice.
Which, to be honest, you know, I really thought as it had been speculated, I thought that was it. The man's got... The guy's got plenty to do with his band, and now with his new book, which the cover is viewable through Amazon.
And the title is, I believe it will be out February 16, 2011. Chris Jericho Undisputed, subtitle, How to Win the Championship in 1,372 Easy Steps.
Step one, arm bar.
Yeah,
exactly. Step two, arm drag.
Step three, the three-hand cloth-covered family credenza.
Yeah. Step four, arm bar.
Okay. Hey, is my gong out here?
What? No. No, it isn't, Cole. Sorry.
Blame Jane. Blame Jim for this one. That was Michael Cole saying, is my gong out here, because we were going to need
it. That's one of the new sounds.
Yes, that's one of the new sounds. Blame Jim, he has reloaded the soundboard.
at your acquiesce, yeah, you asked for it, and I deliver.
There you go. But,
Yay!
Oh, man.
Oh, my.
Primitive action, yes.
So, and of course, I thought the Miz would actually have the belt, but then you said you have a hotel room in Indianapolis. Where'd you head to next?
Well, spending the night at this dump of a motel six. At least I had internet in a bed, and that's all I really need.
Question: Did they leave the light on for you?
Yes, it did. I could see it very clearly from the highway.
Ah.
But I also had to slap some people around to get my internet running. I went to bed at the butt crack at dawn. So.
Okay. Yeah, understandable.
I got up the next morning, went ahead, and I had plenty of time. Even with a 6:45 bell time, I was only 20 minutes from the arena.
There you go.
So, drove into town, parked at the parking garage right across the street from the venue, met up with a friend of mine from Indianapolis, a kid named Andy Strum, or we know him as Andy Storm, complete with thunder crashes in the background, who joined me downtown at Mikado's for sushi.
Huh.
He discovered he's not a fan of sushi. It's an acquired taste.
Understandable.
Yeah.
So from there, we, you know, pretty much chat the shit because nobody had gone there for their lunch or dinner. We pretty much had the restaurant to ourselves. So they weren't rushing us out the door. Hallelujah. Took our sweet time getting over to the venue. I do enjoy Canseco Field House once I'm inside. It's not one of the best places to get autographs since the parking area for the wrestlers is underground. So unless you get the guys backing and, you know, backed up in a line and you can get the security guards to let you approach the vehicles, you're not getting anything. But grabbing fourth row with the hard cams directly behind me, I can't complain.
Nor should you.
I didn't. I did have a chance to shake some hands with members of the Jimmy Squad, including the new female Jimmy Squad member.
There's someone female named Jimmy? What?
Okay. Remember, if you guys don't know this, the Jimmy Squad is so named because one of the security guards decreed that all members of the security team must be named Jimmy.
Oh.
So I did approach her because I have seen her on camera at a few shows. She's a tall, slim black woman with short hair. It's not Naomi. And I approached her and I said, "So is it Jamie or is it Jimmy?" And she looked at me and she said, "Some people would call me sassy."
You ask no further questions at this point.
Hey, I said, at least I've had the honor. I shook her hand and I said, it's at least good to meet you on more neutral circumstances. She said, "No, you don't want to know me, and you don't want to know me on the other side of that." And I said, "No, because I don't feel like getting thrown out." No. But yeah, we do see the rest of the regular Jimmy squad over there. I'll clue you guys in. Jimmy Jr., or at least that's what I called him, the big guy who would second as MVP's bouncer for the VIP lounge, no longer works there.
Oh.
Depending on who you ask, we'll get you an answer on why he's not working there anymore. I'm not permitted to go into further details.
Mm.
But those remaining are Sergeant Jimmy, the bald guy who you saw during the NXT riot, the bald guy in the suit that was trying to break things up.
Yes.
That was one of the Jimmy Squad guys. There's one guy I call Maven Jimmy because he had about the same skin color as Maven and looks like him if he was about 10 years older and about 30 pounds heavier.
Okay.
But you see these guys at just about every show. And they're the ones that are slapping around the arena security, who they've done a hell of a job slapping around and finally getting them to make people sit down so short people like me can actually see the show.
Yeah.
And you're not short, you're vertically challenged. It's okay.
But it was a double taping, and it was an awesome, awesome show.
Now, you were there for the live Raw, which led to the big thing about Hell in a Cell, the two main matches that have been put up so far, which were Orton Sheamus in the cage, or in the cell, right?
Correct. And the gauntlet has been thrown down between Cena and Wade Barrett. Cena wants to end this Nexus nonsense once and for all. If he can beat Wade Barrett, he's going to get Nexus disbanded. However, if Barrett wins, and Barrett does have a win over Cena, Cena must don the black and yellow.
And I have a strange feeling that that could actually happen.
So, Josh, let's expand on that, Josh.
I really think there's two sides to this argument. One, WWE goes the easy route, Cena destroys Barrett, goodbye Nexus. The other, Barrett wins on purpose so that Cena can infiltrate the Nexus and tear him apart one by one until Nexus is no more. That's pretty much what it's coming down to.
Jim, you like that idea?
Do like the idea. I'm just wondering if they're willing to feed that to us. I would not be opposed to it. It would be a little different. It would be a change of course. But this is WWE creative we're talking about. Do they have the cojones to pull this off? I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if they would do it, but I would love to see it, just to see Cena not at the top for a little bit. And him not being the number one face in the company, some crazy dude who's really a heel and the champion is. I'm trying not to let my bias showing. How am I doing, guys?
Not good, but we'll
no.
Yeah, the panel, what do you say?
Yeah.
Okay. But right now, since Cena isn't on top, this might be a good time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give him something to do.
Yeah, but okay. Remember, though, Cena said in the interview, in many interviews, his character was, quote-unquote, Superman. Okay. And the fact is, Superman never loses. Well, or at least, you know. I just don't see WWE creative being that half, you know, too smart by half sort of deal.
But can't you see this as losing a battle to win the war?
Okay. Maybe.
Because Josh's scenario bears out that Cena will win in the end.
Yeah.
Like it into like a little espionage action, like a spy going in under enemy lines, between enemy lines, and picking them apart. Otherwise, we're going to get rinse, repeat, lather from the Cena thing, which sadly I think we're going to get this time around when we talk again in 2 weeks' time after the pay-per-view and what have you. But it would be interesting, and it could, you know, maybe add something to the ratings, which I hear are a little bit down again.
Raw pulled a 2.8 this Monday, and there's two reasons for that. Number one, Monday Night Football's back in full swing. Number two,
damn right.
New season stuff.
Well,
yeah, this happened 2 years ago when the next lowest rating was reached because, well, this rating was lowest since September 15th, 2008 Raw, which only got a 2.78 from what I remember.
So, it's not something that Vince is going to panic over, and the IWC needs to really chill.
Yeah.
As was mentioned on the show last week on the special season premiere, Rob mentioned it best, more people are watching wrestling now than they did when the ratings numerically were higher, but there were fewer viewers within that rating group. So it's a moot point.
Are you saying that the idea that the quote-unquote Monday night ratings war numbers, they don't mean anything? No.
What we're saying is that the Nielsen numbers fluctuate over time. What that 1.0 meant 10 years ago is different than what that 1.0 means now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can translate it to something, you know, something that I know and something Jim might know, which is game shows, and I'll explain to you what I mean.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay. For example, in the early part of the 2000s, a show called Pyramid was canceled. It had something like a 2.8 or something on an average. So if you,
yeah,
I don't remember.
Twos.
It was in the twos. Now, if a show gets a 1.0 rating, it's a hit for many different reasons. One, now most shows are not watched on the time that they're on. The time shifting has gone so far with Hulu and DVRs, and you know, it's very, you can get access to a lot of different shows or shows at a lot of different times. So the ratings don't necessarily mean much, per se.
Mm-hmm. As much, yeah.
You know. Although people would, you know, Vince would like to have, you know, Raw be the event show.
Yeah.
Of course.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The GM just wants to chime in his 2 cents. Give me a second. And I quote,
just read it already.
Yeah.
I deserve that.
Oh, you almost gave me the spit take there. That was good.
Does anybody want the spoilers for next week's Raw?
I've already seen them.
Well, why don't we give them to
glanced
the people?
Over them.
Why don't we give them to the people, and if they don't want to hear it, how long should we tell them to fast forward through?
Go ahead and fast forward 3 minutes.
Okay.
Did somebody say 3 minutes?
3 minutes?
Had to be the...
Yeah.
Now, where did I just... I just lost his list. Since I don't have my pictures in front of me.
I actually do have the spoiler. I think I have the Raw spoilers for next week. Let me see if I can.
And I can give you some points on it. Although personally, my favorite part of next week's show is Edge versus the GM.
Oh yes.
Oh my God.
You're lying.
One of the greatest moments in the history of our industry.
The greatest. No holds barred beatdown I've seen on TV in a long time.
Technology be damned.
Okay. So here's what happens. Miz and Alex Riley beat Daniel Bryan and John Morrison. Miz pinned Bryan. Four men fought after the bell. And the GM would defend that there would be a three-way match for the U.S. title at Hell in a Cell against Morrison and The Miz. And the fans go, yay, honestly, right?
Oh, we were quite happy. We were quite happy because we were actually a little confused at one point because Bryan got all over Miz. Morrison looked like he was trying to break it up, and then Bryan attacks Morrison. Well, we're not going to put up with that now, are we? And Riley needs to go find a seat because this isn't his neighborhood. But please go on.
Mm-hmm. Natalya wins a battle royal to become the number one contender for the unified women's divas butterfly belt.
The divas championship. Whee.
Yes, there was another. I love, you know, Maurice or Ted. Sheamus lays out the open challenge. Great Khali takes up on it. After a minute, Sheamus powders. Edge does a cutting edge with the War GM, who was piped in via a voice box. Tell them about that one.
The voice people were comparing to the character GLaDOS from the series Portal. Their explanation was that to facilitate the conversation, that the GM would speak through a disguise through software that would disguise the voice. This, of course, you know, still mounted some frustration with Edge to where he actually stopped and exclaimed, "I'm arguing with a computer."
And Edge rips him until the GM said he would face John Cena. Edge beat Cena with a spear, but the GM said Cena was in the ropes. Match restarted. Cena won. Then
Edge completely loses his mind.
You got to say it right. Edge loses his ever-loving mind, right?
Yes. Edge just blew his ever-loving cool. And what followed was quite amazing with the destruction of the laptop. Now, all fair note, while they were hauling the GM's podium and the broken laptop backstage, they walked past my section. I saw the guy with the laptop and looked over my shoulder. I said, "Hey, how long is he going to be out?"
Nice. That's
Damn.
A win right there. That's a win.
Just go to Geek Squad. They'll fix it. No problem.
Yeah.
Which was the question.
We have the technology. Now, Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel beat Mark Henry and Evan Bourne. And Wade Barrett says, neener, Cena's going to be part of Nexus. A lot of promotion for the SmackDown sci-fi debut a week from tonight. And the main event was Randy Orton, Chris Jericho, which was promoted this week. Ms. Nikki, tell us about it.
This match was actually quite solid for a man who can carry Randy Orton.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho goes down with the RKO and the head punt of Doom so that they could stretch him and justify his disappearance.
So he'll be back in time for Survivor Series then?
Royal Rumble, actually.
Yeah, I think he's gonna our savior will be back at the Rumble and hopefully win it.
Might be turned face by then as well.
Possibly.
I think it'll be the returning face rule because I mean you got to feel sorry for a guy who goes out to such a weak punt.
And by the way, I don't know. The only thing that's bothering me is the fact that he's not promoting the DVD outside of what he did Monday, to be honest. I thought there would be a bigger push for this.
Probably not needed, if you think about it. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of good talkers, we turned our sights over to NXT and a Michael Cole-less show.
After he decided to gong himself?
To gong himself and, to go on his merry way. So Josh Matthews had to suffer along with CM Punk, who clearly sounded like he was suffering.
I think we have a winner already for commentator of the year, and that's the man who wins it.
Exactly.
I need some natural dynamite in my life.
That's right.
And I think that I forgot to ask for the one about pants. I think his line of the night was, "I'm not right now. I'm not wearing pants," and that's how I always watch season 3 of NXT.
Wow!
I wear no pants.
Yeah. Thank you, TVPG.
I wear no pants.
There goes the TVPG right there.
So well,
Punk, congratulations. So. Congratulations, Punk. You crossed the line there.
The line TNA could only aspire to be within 100 miles of, yes.
So, I mean, outside of Punk, I really didn't see NXT.
And to be honest, I should have kept the volume up, but once Cole reappeared, he should have stayed away longer. He really should have.
What he said, I'm coming back?
No, he showed up.
Yeah.
Yes, he came out after the first match and appealed to the masses. I should have isolated this soundbite, too, and I'll have it for next week. Everybody boos him after he asks for their attention, to which he says, and I quote, "Boo, boo, 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 boo. Boo me all you want."
Come to think of it, that might be next week's intro.
Yeah.
Yes, I think it might be, yes. But he comes back because the show needs journalistic integrity. He came back for CM Punk, to which CM Punk said something to the tune of, "Yeah, I'm glad you're back, but yeah, even if this show is still pretty bad with or without you, quite honestly."
There's got to be a war somewhere he's corresponding at.
The music just takes that away. It really does. I couldn't do anything with that.
He wore a bloody ascot. I've seen the pictures. Realistic integrity, my ass. You wore an ascot, man.
Charles Nelson Riley approves.
Unless your name is Fred Jones, it just doesn't work.
Or Prince
Jr. Damn it, nobody got that. Anyway, Pat Stryker saved me. Let's see. Why did I not see Impact this week? Oh, that's right. I was working overtime. So
yeah,
I'm just
on the life, so it's all good. Yes.
Well, we just, you know, only two things out of TNA. Mr. Anderson. Yes, him. Decided to be an asshole to the management of WWE and signed a long-term contract with TNA.
You know what, though? I actually think that's good for him, to be honest. I think he has made... I actually think he's made himself a better character and wrestler since he went to TNA,
to be honest.
And I think that they need to build... he's one of the guys they should build around. I mean, he was one of, you know, he's not necessarily a homegrown talent, but he's made himself more welcome in TNA than he was ever in WWE.
Very true.
The building blocks he gained in WWE and expounded upon them when he went to TNA and has made himself one of their top stars.
Mm-hmm. And he deserves to get paid for it, and he deserves to stay there. You know?
Hey, that man is funny. Mm-hmm.
So the only other thing coming out of there was Amazing Red getting the X Division title off of, I believe, Jay Lethal.
New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom. And he kept it tonight at the ECW Arena.
Quite awesome.
Yes.
Quite awesome.
And by the way, the Amazing Red is a great, 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 great performer. And, you know, good stuff. Glad to see him get a belt.
I'm just glad to see him get as far as he did. I remember hearing about him back in, I think, 03, 04, and I was like, wow, I can't wait to see this guy get called up. and he got hurt or something went down, and he just completely fell off the radar.
He got hurt.
So he got hurt until about 2008 that we started to see him again.
Yeah, it was a 2-year gap between his, well, retirement and his comeback.
Okay. So then we could, when we come into Friday, we have some good news and we have some bad news.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with the bad news.
Yeah.
While well played and well covered in this evening's edition of SmackDown and the blame posted directly to Alberto Del Rio, Captain Charisma Christian is now sidelined for 6 months with a torn pectoral muscle. Ow. Ow.
That sounds nasty. It just makes you hurt when you hear that. Jeez.
Yeah. So, but being the trooper that he was, he did a backstage segment, and he actually came out to the ring, despite the injury, just to give Alberto Del Rio more heat, as this is the second person he's put on the shelf.
Yeah.
Breaking Ray's wrist, and now this legit injury with Christian.
And Christian's out for up to 6 months, from what I remember hearing.
That is when, he will be, that puts him in WrestleMania territory.
Which,
yeah.
You know,
close to it, yeah.
Fingers crossed, maybe he can pop in right after Chamber. But,
hopefully.
Captain, we're praying for you, Captain.
Yeah.
Better.
You know, don't pull Cena. I mean, if you could pull Cena and come back next week, no. Because Cena is known
Super
for
Cena.
Cena's a freak.
There was one time when he had, and I read this on WWE, remember when he had the neck surgery?
I was in Pittsburgh. Because that was where the next show was, and I had people coming up and telling me that he was in the building. I told them that they were full of shit because he had just had the surgery. Then they did the video package some months later where people were saying they saw where the wrestlers were talking about it. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. I mean, the guy's a freak. It was one of those things. So, but yeah, seriously, Christian, get well. We want to see you back soon. Just heal nice. Heal well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of Del Rio, if you're paying close attention to the intro tonight, Del Rio is now in the SmackDown intro, covering parts normally reserved for Matt Hardy.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Yes, Mr. I'm trying to get my rear end fired.
Mr. Fit or Fat, depending on when you were looking at the pictures. He looked in his Matt Hardy Show episodes, but there was a picture leaked out on Twitter that got a few boards buzzing and people looking to see if it was Photoshopped, and him claiming that he's actually dropped weight. But, you know, he's tech savvy enough to try to pull the wool over somebody's eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, before we continue to SmackDown, there was actually one other TNA potential spoiler, which I might want to sort of, if you might want to play the breaking news jingle one more time, please. Thank you very much. Sheet sources are reporting that one Mickey James has signed with TNA.
Yep.
So I'm guessing that she will probably make her debut maybe 10 perhaps?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And bring some badly needed life into a women's division that really needs it, which is sad, considering.
Yeah.
You know?
Considering, you know, I can see that TNA did have a better women's division at one point.
Exactly.
right now, it, yeah, you're right, it does need a shot in the arm.
Exactly. So, I'm sorry, go ahead back, and I apologize for, I forgot about that. And so back to Matt Hardy and his, is he or isn't he, you know?
Yeah.
To be honest, if he is trying to get out, I can almost understand they haven't done, they're really not doing anything, they really haven't done anything with him. If mm-hmm. he's been trying time off to heal up from his abdominal injury and they're not giving it to him, I can understand that. Plus, he has zero backup. I mean, the only other North Carolinian that is even amongst the roster is on the other show, and that's Truth. His buds, Shannon, Shane, Jeff, etc., are in TNA or elsewhere. So, you know, we don't know the whole story. We really don't know the whole story. It looks like he's trying to get himself fired. It could be just the fact that he has been a very disgruntled employee over the last couple of months if you've been reading his Twitter. So whatever, you know, whatever's got his DVDs in a bunch, let's hope it gets untangled soon. And if it means that he has to leave the E, then, Matt, get out of there before you do something stupid.
Yeah.
Do something stupid to get out of there. Get out of there before you do something stupid.
Exactly.
And don't blacklist yourself from everybody just to get the heck yes. out of the WWE. That would be dumb.
Yes,
so.
Exactly. Don't be, what's his name?
Jeff?
No. One, the Hart that got kicked out of just about every Fed.
Teddy Hart. That's
Teddy.
Teddy Hart. That's all I ask.
Yeah, and honestly, sir, you know, all joking aside, you know, Jeff has a reputation of being a little bit of a off-kilter sort. We thought you were the, you know, the straight and narrow one, you
mm-hmm.
know? And now he's, you know, he's sullying his own reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And, it looks like he doesn't care, which is the sad part.
Which, you know, like I said, if he's, you know, if he's disgruntled, he's not going to care. It's, you know, it's like me in my regular job. I really, you know, I don't care. There are days
hey,
that I want to turn
thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Jim, go ahead, please.
I was going to say, it's the kind of actions that he's taking now where he's going to look back 5, 10, 15 years from now. And when the book is written on him, per se, he's going to say, what the hell was I thinking? That's what this is.
Yeah. And the bad thing is, he just isn't really thinking right now.
Right. And I'm hoping that WWE is actually doing a bit of thinking and thinking that he needs to go sit at home for a couple of months, get his head back on straight, and figure out what he wants to do. And what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Because he would be, you know, he's somebody who, you know, could use maybe a touch of repackaging, you know, just a slight twist like they did with the V1 persona back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Get him out there, get him motivated. I don't think he's A-belt material, but, you know, I didn't think Jeff Hardy was A-belt material until I saw him face, until I watched him in Triple H. At Armageddon 07, where Jeff beats Hunter clean, and Hunter was smiling at points during this match.
Right.
The only time I will ever say Triple H, I should send for the man.
Mm-hmm.
But my discussion of SmackDown would be remiss if I didn't look into one other thing.
May I?
Well, just the fact that when I see Undertaker sad and dejected and then be met in the hallway, that somebody just gives him the reaction.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Yes! Just go away! Leave me sulk!
Leave me alone. And then realizing who it was, right, Jason?
Yes, it had to be. And then when he was revealed, and you just had to say, oh, yes, pretty much, because, yeah, and yes, and I was doing that without holding or squeezing anything. you know.
But the pop, that was, as far as I know, that was not piped in, judging from the pictures that I saw on WrestleCraft and what I heard tonight. People were stoked to see Paul Bearer back on TV.
I'm surprised they gave him his old, old look. Because I know when last he was with the Federation, or at WWE, I should say, the makeup was gone, the dyed hair was gone, but hey, it's all good.
And you know what? Remember, he had stomach stapling surgery, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Which I think the E paid for, I remember he said it on the blog or something like that. Is that true, I think?
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, this would, because this would, you know, contribute to his health. I know that he was probably at his heaviest. He was probably teetering towards 400.
Right.
I think he was over 400, actually, at a point.
So, yeah, this is definitely, you know, some sort of wellness issue of a different kind.
Mm-hmm.
And for a man that did so much with the Undertaker, Kane dynamic in 97, the fact that he was Undertaker's mouthpiece when the character began,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're in an era that managers were starting to fall by the wayside, and how rare it was to see somebody with a manager.
Mm-hmm.
A true manager, not a trophy piece, might I add, yes.
Yeah, we're not talking about eye candy. I'm not talking like Maurice. I'm talking a bona fide, you know, help waiting in the corner.
Bobby Heenan style manager.
Yeah. Freddie Blassie, you know. A grand wizard.
And honestly, when Undertaker bent down to one knee after Paul Bearer raised the urn, I literally jumped out of my chair and pumped my fist and said, yes, that's how you fucking do it. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And props in another direction, and Jim, I think you appreciated this. The fact that they kept some volume to Kane's side of the ring, you know, despite being at the top of the ramp, you could still hear him screaming in protest.
Oh, sure.
The fact that Bearer has returned.
Definitely positive, yeah. Really pulls the story all together.
It's like it wasn't supposed to happen this way, you know.
Or, where the hell did he come from? I thought he was dead. Although continuity nod in the right direction, when Bearer took the cement attack at Bash of the Beach those many, many moons ago. Great American Bash 04.
Yeah.
Of which there was a satellite leak to Undertaker and Paul Bearer rehearsing that particular part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's still out there on YouTube, but if you can find it, it is kind of amusing.
What would it be under?
Try Undertaker Bearer
rehearsal.
Try that. I didn't see the rehearsal myself until after the pay-per-view had aired, but I'm sure somebody got fired over this. It was mentioned on SmackDown, I think, either that following week or within a couple of weeks, that Bearer did survive the concrete coffin.
Mm-hmm.
that the EMTs got to him in time, and he had you know, he had multiple injuries.
Ah, here it
but
is. I got it.
I'm looking at it now.
You send me the link to that, Jason, because I'm sure I have it downloaded somewhere. Thank you. But, you know, this is just somebody flinging the curtain way too wide open.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just an interesting sight.
Mm-hmm.
I find it more intriguing, too. Undertaker was the one that sent Bearer away. We got a couple of minutes. Jim, let me pick your brain. What would Paul Bearer's motivation be to come back after the fact that Taker almost killed him 6 years ago?
Well, I can kind of play the bass-ackwards logic. If this is the kind of guy who would go all out to kill me, this is the kind of guy I'd want on my team. Of course, realistically, I always like to say, don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, which is, I think, the case study here. But that's about the only logic I can think of.
All right. Josh, you want to take a stab at it?
Not really. Sorry, I'm just, getting a little tired and a little cranky. I haven't eaten in an hour.
Don't panic.
It's 1 hour in Toledo.
We're almost done.
All right.
We are almost done. Jason, you want to take a stab at it, or are you just having fun with the storyline?
I'm having fun with the storyline, but I will also say this. The idea is that the idea for me is that I think Paul Bearer, believe it or not, is a very forgiving soul. And he's like, you know what? I was the one who gave Undertaker, I was the one who brought Undertaker in the first place. Or, even better, if you want to play it on the other side, he was the one who brought Kane back.
True.
So, maybe he wants to see both the brothers destroyed.
I'm looking in that direction, and I'm seeing Bearer as the magnificent bastard who approached Taker, who is still in such a weakened state, and essentially say, I can restore you for a price. Because Kane does have one thing right. Undertaker's pride is going to get in the way of anything, including the fact that he has been weakened considerably. He's played that so well the last couple of weeks in the Night of Champions. And the fact that when we saw him tonight, he was asking his brain, trying to figure out what could he do. He hasn't been this mentally and physically helpless ever. Granted, he's been confused when confronting a smart-ass like Shawn Michaels. But
sure.
He could kick Shawn's ass. He could kick Kane's ass, but it's not working.
Exactly.
The question is, though, is Hell in the Cell going to be the end of it, do you think?
I don't think so. I don't think so because I discovered something. I hit the calendar. So the Monday after Survivor Series would be exactly 20 years to the day that The Undertaker's been in the WWE.
Huh. Listen, guys, I have to hop, so I'm just going to let you go, all right? So I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it, Jason. Thank you.
Later. Bye.
But, yeah, I think Survivor Series is going to be the be-all and end-all.
Yeah,
it's an interesting salami angle, definitely, yeah.
Really?
The timing would be perfect, as it will be perfect here with the end of this show. We will be back next week.
You've been warned. This is the North American Wrestling Connection. Good night, guys.
Good night.
And a quick rest in peace to El Gigante.
And I really wish I could, you know, have talked about CSR's big old comeback, but...
You could have interrupted us at any time, Josh. You know that.
I know. It's just that you know me. So, yeah, Capture Suplex Radio is coming back this Saturday, 2 to 5 p.m., WRSCRadio.com.
I might have to crash your party.
Go ahead and crash it. We'll have multiple times you can call in.
Sweet, because...
If you ever need production elements, by all means, say the word.
I still haven't decided what I'm going to do with most of my day tomorrow. And all I know, the one thing I have to do is get my ass in the gym because I haven't gone all week.
Right.
You need the GTO? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
You need the GTO? You don't watch Jersey Shore. Never mind. No.
Sorry.
And
no, but
right now, I'm going to go ahead and get out of here. I'm going to go eat Waffle House now.
Enjoy, have some fun.
How are the waffles?
All right. Take care, you guys.
Night, Josh.
Bye.
And off I go as well. Good night and good luck.
Thanks again, Jim.
No problem.
Have a good night.